welcome back to another special episode of the Epic Experiment Podcast. I'm your host, Bruce, and I'm joined on the line by Lux. Lux, how are you now? Lux, are you talking? Oh no, so much editing already this early in the show. I'm gonna sing for the audience so they know. Don't go nowhere, go find a sandwich. Uh-oh, Lux, are you back?
Yeah, and sorry, my internet disconnected for a few minutes.
Your internet officially stinks. It's okay. No problem. So, but how are you tonight, my friend? It's good to have you back.
Yeah, and I'm doing good.
Excellent. I was gonna say, it was very lonely last week here on the podcast, all by my lonesome. But I tried to hold down and represent and get it done. So, thank you to the audience who stuck with us last week. It was a bit of a tough slug, I'm not going to lie. So it's good to be back talking to another person on the other end of the line. So what's new? What's shaking down in the grand state of Texas, my friend?
And nothing new. It's almost summer, and yet we still have spring-like weather.
Oh, man, I bet you're loving that.
Yeah, no, thank you. Honestly, I prefer the rain to extreme heat.
Dude, I can appreciate that. Like, down where you are, like, when it gets hot, like, it gets silly hot, doesn't it?
Yeah.
So, I mean, I can appreciate you taking the opportunity to enjoy a little bit of cooler weather. Now, when you say cooler, what are we talking? Are we talking about, like, high 70s, low 80s, or are we talking even lower than that?
And high 70s.
Oh, that's beauty. You'll take that every day. We all know that July is coming and it's going to be 110 though soon, right? Like,
yeah, I'm not looking forward to that.
No, at least, like, are you still working for the scrapyard too?
Nope.
So you're strictly indoors at the card shop at this point then?
Yeah, and then after last July, I called it quits with the scrap job.
I don't blame you, man. Like, it's a tough slug, and I'll be very honest with you. In 110 degree heat, I don't think I'd be wanting to work scrap either, because that would just be the definition of awful. Because you got to wear long pants and steel toes, and you're just gonna cook. Oof.
Yeah.
Oof. Oh, anyway, no. Yeah, like here, we've had a couple of warm days, but it's been pretty temperate recently. But the temperature's starting to rise starting tomorrow, where we're starting to get, you know, into the mid-20s here. So, like, that's Celsius, all right, folks? Like, don't worry. It isn't still snowing here yet, like, in Jude. Yeah, it won't be long, and they'll be talking into the 30s, which is, I guess, the, you know, high 80s or low 90s, and it gets hot. And it's just what it is in Ontario. It's just hot and sticky, and that's just what it is. We'll be hot and sticky. The other unfortunate piece is we're still stuck in a lockdown, and we're going to be stuck in a lockdown for a while yet, and they're debating on how to reopen us, and it's been painful, to say the least. Like, at least you guys are more or less open for business. So, question, have you had a chance to get together with some of your friends and play in person recently?
Not yet, and we're still waiting for in-store play to be reinstated.
Okay, cool. Hopefully for you guys it's sooner, and if you do, please post pictures for those of us who just can't. And we'll be looking on, like, through the window, like, oh, but I want to go do that too. Anyway, it's going to be a few more months, I think. And even, you know, once they give us the green light, I think it's going to be a few more months before I'm comfortable stepping foot in a store to try and play a pre-release or something like that. So, anyway. All right, now, folks, we were to be joined by Feff once again tonight, because little did you know that tonight was actually going to be episode 69. There's nothing important about the number 69, apart than it's funny. And we're really all about 12. But Feff was going to join us tonight, and then, well, life got in the way, and so Feff isn't going to join us. But we have an open invitation to Feff, and she can join us whenever she pleases. And we will simply rename the episode 69 in her honor, just because she was so adamant that she wanted to come on tonight, which made me laugh.
Episode 69.
But, like, we'll only accept, like, and we can, every time Feff comes on, we can let's call it episode 69.2345, whatever, and just go with it. And just don't worry about it. It'll be fine. Just a reminder, folks, if you like what you hear on the show, be sure to check us out at thelotuscouncil.com. That is our home on the internet. And you can find lots of great content over there. They've got a YouTube channel. They've got us with the podcast. They've got Twitch streams. They got all sorts of great things going on. So go and check them out over there at thelotuscouncil.com. In particular, be sure to stop by the Discord for all the latest things that are happening in the world of Discord. Lots of conversation. There's people trading cards, people setting up games, people talking current events, people talking new deck strategies, people talking spoilers for Modern Horizons, which kind of look cool. So it's a great place to come and check out. So be sure to come and stop by thelotuscouncil.com and sign into the Discord. It is free of charge. It doesn't cost you one red cent. And the net benefit is you get to talk to all sorts of cool people. Lux and I are there all the time, hanging out, talking to people. So come and join us. You will not be sorry you did so. And come on, see for yourself. All right, folks. So that's lotuscouncil.com, our home for our podcast on the internet. So, Lux, tonight our show is going to be in three segments. We're going to do garbage or great. We're going to try and do it quick. And then the bulk of our show is going to be all about MH2 or Modern Horizons 2 for those of you who are not familiar. And then in honor of Feff, Feff shared with us a very sweet deck this week. So we're going to have a look at a brand new deck. So it makes for a busy show. Woo! Wow, pardon me. Already yawning too. Does not bode well. All right, so let's get on with the show,
I
right
can
now,
see
Lux?
That you're still talking, but
oh, you didn't hear anything. Oh,
hold on. I can hear you now.
Oh, good. What happened? Did you turn the volume down?
And no, your volume just completely cut out.
Well, that's not cool. Because I've been able to hear you the whole time. And that is super uncool. All right, so we're going to move on to segment one then. We're going to move on to our garbage or great tonight, Lux. Are you ready?
Yep.
All right, so garbage or great tonight, we have Butcher of Malakir. So 5BB for a 5/4 flying vampire warrior. And whenever Butcher of Malakir or another creature you control dies, each opponent sacrifices a creature. So this is Grave Pact stuck to a creature. Is this good? Is this great? Or is this trash?
And honestly, I'm not sure what to think of this card, because this is one of those that I have never seen out in the wild.
No, you have not. It seems like I put in a lot of pre-con, so I think the deck, the card is actually like pretty strong. Like it made 20, like it was printed in Worldwick originally. But Commander 21, Sorin versus Tibble, Commander 2014, Zendikar versus Eldrazi, Commander 2015, Commander Anthology, Commander 2017, and Commander Anthology Volume 2. So it's obviously, it's been seeing a lot of printings, which is why it's around $2. This is Grave Pact. Like, this with text box on it is Grave Pact, or Dictate of Erebos, or whatever you want to call it. On a 5/4 creature. And I'm going to be honest with you, I like the card. I think the card is infinitely more enjoyable to play against than playing against the enchantments. Like, when someone casts Grave Pact, what is your first thought that comes to your brain there, Lux? Like, what do you
think?
And like, what I'm thinking is, okay, this is an enchantment. How am I going to be able to deal with this?
Yes, absolutely. And you're like, and then you are going through the mental checklist in your deck of how many ways you have to remove enchantments. Maybe you don't have any. Maybe you're playing like blue-black and you don't have a way to get rid of them. And you're like, oh no, I am totally skunked. I'm now relying on my opponents to to deal with this problem, which is never a good feeling. Okay, so putting this on a creature makes it far more fair. It's still a very powerful effect. Like, if people, if anyone's ever, you know, faced down a Butcher of Malakir, whew, that thing can be scary if people are not paying attention. Because, I mean, you might think, okay, so things don't need to die, but all of a sudden, somebody makes an ill-advised attack, somebody casts a removal spell, and all of a sudden, the cascade effect of everything dying, and the guy with Butcher of Malakir just sits there and laughs. So, I think the card is actually really quite good. I'm not in love with the 7 mana converted mana cost, or mana value, I appreciate, but... No, I think the card is quite good. I think the card is infinitely more fair than playing an enchantment. And let's be honest, if you're going to play one of these effects, you're going to play all of them. So you're going to play Butcher, you're going to play Dictate, you're going to play Grave Pact. You're just going to run them all, and you're just going to make your opponents weep in the fact they don't have any creatures on the battlefield. That's what I think. So I think the card is really quite good.
But yeah, like, I'll go with your opinion.
You're gonna go with it?
Yeah.
So, like, obviously, you should look for somebody in your playgroup that's got one of these and, like, say, hey, like, let's play that deck. Or you should try it out. Put it in something. Like, it's not too expensive. Like, it's not like it's a $50 card. It's a $2 card. Buy one and slip it in a deck and just, like, see how, like, it warps the game around it in a way that maybe you like. I mean, maybe you don't. I mean, like, the game becomes all about how quickly you can take Butcher off the battlefield, because if you don't, it's going to get silly. So, I would suggest you try it out, and, like, you'll see very quickly the card is good. Card is mean, but I like it on a creature better than the enchantments, because it's just something that's just a little bit more palatable. Like, let's go see what the cost of a Grave Pact is. Grave Pact is, like, $30.
Because, like, the effect, it can do a lot of damage, but at least with Butcher of Malakir, at least you can bolt it.
Well, you can bolt it, but it's still a 5-4. Like, it takes an actual removal spell to kill this thing.
Yeah,
like, you're not going to kill it.
Maybe, like, shatter this guy.
Yeah, oh, no, for sure. Like, you can... I mean, it dies to lots of removal. Like, that's kind of what makes it fair. Like, whereas Dictate of Erebos and Grave Pact, you need to actually have enchantment removal, or it doesn't work. Like, Grave Pact was $30. Dictate of Erebos is $15 to $18 sort of idea. And Butcher Malakir is $2. So if you want this effect, you know, you get it at, you know, $2, or instead of, you know, getting, you know, closer to $20 for Dictate, or $30 for Grave Pact. So, no, I like the card. I think the card is strong. I run it in a couple of my decks. Not too many, but a couple. And with good cause, because, like, once things start to die, the cascading trigger of everything, everybody loses creatures, is pretty potent. So, yeah. All right. Any last thoughts on Butcher Malakir?
And I was just going to say that I might want to get a copy of this and run it in Nethroi, because it seems like a really good way to fill up people's graveyards.
You are not wrong. It's a pretty decent way to do a lot of things. So I like it, and I think putting it in Nethroi would be a strong spot for it. All right, let's move on to MH2. So we picked, what, 10 cards, I think, tonight, Lerlux, to make it sort of... Try not to spend too much time. There's lots of cool cards here, folks. This set, I am unreasonably excited for it. I'll be honest, Lux. When I saw Strixhaven, I was kind of like, do I want much of this? And in the end, I'm glad I haven't spent much money on Strixhaven, because I'm like, it's not really got me excited for it. Did Strixhaven do much for you? Any thoughts, Lux? Strixhaven? No?
And honestly, majority of the money that I've spent on Strixhaven was for Witherbloom goodies.
Witherbloom Goodies, that's fair. I can appreciate if there's a college that you're into, you get it. I mean, the Mystical Archives look pretty sweet. I like some of the Mystical Archives, but I'm not in love with the vast majority of the set. So I didn't spend any money on it, and I'm actually pretty glad I haven't, so I can then in turn invest it in MH2 stuff, because there's a whole lot of cards here that I'm pretty excited about. So let's get on to the very... I just can't wait to get my hands on it. So we got, first up, Lannis, Cryptozoologist. One and a blue, legendary creature, snake, elf, scout. It's a 1/2. Whenever another non-token creature enters the battlefield under your control, investigate. And investigate is a mechanic we haven't seen in I think it was Shadows of Innistrad, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah.
Where you make a clue, investigate is making a clue token that you can then pay 2 and tap it and sacrifice it to draw a card. So, Lannis' ability is tap, sacrifice X clues. Target opponent reveals the top X cards of their library. You put a non-land permanent card with mana value X or less from among them onto the battlefield under your control. That player puts the rest of the on the bottom of their library in a random order. So I'm going to be very honest there, Lux. I was excited for this because now we actually get a commander for an investigate deck. And I like the investigate mechanic.
Yeah, like, I wish they had it more. Shadows of Innistrad.
Yes, and they've diddled around with like the token that does something that you can sacrifice for an effect, and so they've had like Eldrazi Scions, then they had clue tokens, and clue tokens, and they had food tokens. Nope, I missed the order there, but they had treasure tokens and food tokens, sort of all these incidental things that you produce that you can use for value. And we've seen them go back to the well for treasure tokens regularly. And we've seen that in MH2 there's some food support. But I'm glad to have them support the investigate mechanic, because there are some fun cards in blue and green with the investigate mechanic. What is this? Ongoing investigation is one that's lots of fun. So one in a blue for an enchantment. Whenever one or more creatures you control deal combat damage to a player, investigate. So there's lots of ways that you can produce clue tokens that you can now utilize for, cards, or you can use them on Lannis' ability to go and dig stuff out of their library by sacrificing clue tokens, which is tons of fun. Like, I can't get enough how much fun that's going to be. What do you think, Lux?
And honestly, and I know how much I usually narc on blue, but like, this is one of those in the blue one cards that I might just actually want to run.
Yeah, I think this wouldn't be a very fun, very interesting. Like, I don't think it's going to be a super powerful commander. Like, it's not going to be, people aren't going to be looking to turn this into a competitive deck. But I think it's got a fun ability and interacts in a nice way with some cards that haven't seen a lot of love in a few years. So I'm a big fan. I really like this card. I would be very keen to pick up a copy and then build the deck, but we'll have to see. I really do like it. So, yeah. Lannis, Cryptozoologist. What do we got next?
Yeah, next up, we have Gaia as well.
All right. Okay. This set, okay. Read as Gaia as well.
And it's a sorcery, and a suspend 4, and a 1 green. Until end of turn, you may play lands and cast spells for your graveyard. If a card will be put into your graveyard from anywhere this turn, exile that card instead.
So, this is Yawgmoth's Will, but been color shifted to green, right?
Yep.
Right though, this is broken right in half. This is broken right in half.
I love it.
So, I think there's going to be a lot of degenerate things that are going to come down with this one, and I think it's going to be awesome. So, like, I don't know, man. We're bringing it up here in the podcast because I think it's going to be very, very good. Do you think green really needed this sort of effect?
And no, it didn't, but I'm glad it did.
Seriously, like, this is like the rich get richer here, and like, this card is insanity. I have a feeling this is gonna be pretty broken, and there'll be a lot of people who are gonna enjoy playing this in Commander. Now, do you think it's gonna see any play in Modern, or do you think this is strictly a Commander plant?
Honestly, from how it looks, I'm gonna go with my gut and say it's a Commander plant.
Yeah, that's how my opinion is on this too. I don't think Modern is the format that wants to play, you know, suspend for wonky sorceries. But
yeah, with the orders that we've been seeing in the past week or so, it's obvious that where it knows what part of their in a player base actually matters, and that's us green players.
Well, there's been a lot of goodies for green players, that's for sure, including Gaia as well. Up next, we have another green card that's kind of insane. Yavimaya Cradle of Growth, legendary land. Each land is a forest in addition to its other land types. Beg your pardon? That's Urborg. That's green, right?
Yeah.
So very clearly, they're color-shifting stuff, and they've given us a green, essentially, Urborg, Tomb of Yawgmoth. I don't know where it goes, but I know this ability is very, very powerful, and I'm not going to turn up my nose at it. Like, it's very, very, very powerful. So... yeah, I don't know, man. I think the card is this crazy. I just don't know where it goes.
And I'm sure we'll find for it.
We're going to. And I mean, like, folks, the reason we're calling it out here is not because we know where it's going to go. Like, we can't read the tea leaves here as much as we'd like to. But very clearly, we can identify when a card is, like, going to, like, looks like it has all the telltale signs. This could be broken, because we've seen things, other cards in the past that have been very powerful, namely Urborg, Tomb of Yawgmoth, which if someone's got one in their deck, you know, and it's very powerful. So I have no doubt that Yavimaya's Cradle of Growth is going to be the same thing. All right, up next, go ahead.
And next up we have Chatterfang Squirrel General. And I smell a meme card.
This is not meme. This card is just good, but read it.
And for two and a green, and legendary creature Squirrel Warrior 3/3 with Forest Walk. If one or more tokens would be created under your control, those tokens plus that many 1/1 green squirrel creature tokens are created instead. And black, sacrifice X squirrels, target creature gets plus X and minus X until end of turn.
So this is dumb. This card is dumb. So dumb. So essentially, anytime you get a token, not just a creature token, a token, you also get a squirrel. So I'm pretty sure this plus Pitiless Plunderer. It says whenever another creature you control dies, create a treasure token. So, if you can sacrifice a squirrel to Chatterfang with that black, you have a Pitiless Plunderer on the battlefield. Chatterfang sacks it, and the Pitiless Plunderer sees the creature that something has died, triggers, makes a treasure token. Chatterfang then sees that a token was made, makes a squirrel. Now you rinse and repeat. You're going to machine gun all their creatures dead with that sacrifice ability. And you're going to be done left with Chatterfangs and Toskies and all sorts of other stuff. Like, this one's for real. This one is for real. And I think Chatterfang is very, very powerful. So...
Yeah, like, this is basically one of those, and I hope my opponents didn't plan on having fun this game and at cards.
There's truth to that. There is definitely truth. This thing, and like, I mean, like a 3-3 for 3 with Forest Walk is just not bad stats. This plus the Yavimaya Cradle up here, like we just saw, Cradle of Growth. Now all the lands are forest, so Chatterfang has got the ability to just, you know, roll up and take everybody out. So, I don't know. I like Chatterfang. I like it. It's going to be kind of... I think it's going to be one of the more popular commanders from the set, which is disappointing because I would like to, you know, be able to build my nice and cheap Chatterfang. But anyway. Oh, dear. Okay. Next, we have the card Damn. So Damn is black for a sorcery. Destroy target creature. A creature destroyed this way can't be regenerated. Overload for 2 black. Well, what do you think?
Honestly, I'm not even sure what to think about this one.
This card is like potentially the best Wrath in the format now, or at least the best Wrath in black. So let's be real. There's lots of times you rip open your hand and you're like, oh geez, I've got my Damnation or I've got my Crux of Fate or whatever else you're using as your black Wrath in hand already. Don't love it. Now Damn allows you to use it as a targeted removal spell. Hopefully so that you never actually need to overload it. But you overload it for 2 white, like, yes, you have to dip into a second color. But seems good to me. Like, there's nothing not to like about this card. Like, it's just good. So, I don't know. I think the card's excellent. I put in the notes, Damnation got wrecked, because I think Damnation may be finding itself replaced in many decks thanks to this. Would you agree?
Yep.
Yeah, so I think it's good. All right, this one. Go ahead, read this one. Endurance.
Yeah, Endurance for 1 and 2 green. Elemental Incarnation in 3/4 with Flash and Reach. When Endurance enters the battlefield, up to 1 target player puts all the cards from their graveyard on the bottom of their library in a random order. Evoke, exile a green card from your hand.
Wow. You want to start? Like, this thing is crazy.
This literally, it's like the pure essence of green mana incarnate.
Well, no, not quite, but it is fantastic graveyard hate. I guess it's fantastic graveyard hate, because they go to do something, and now in response, you can flash in Endurance, tuck all their things on the bottom of their deck, which, I'll be honest, folks, often means is gone. Like, there was a time when we could tuck things into decks, and like... it was like you tuck your commander in your deck and it may as well be gone. You're never getting it back. Same sort of thing happening here. Like if there's a really juicy target, Endurance is going to pluck it out and just get you. So, yeah, I don't know, man. I don't know. I think the card is good. I also think when you can cast things for free, whew, look out. Look out. I think free spells are good, even if you gotta pitch things to it. Oof. Any other thoughts?
And honestly, I'm just loving what we're looking at right now. The past,
oh yeah, the current,
all the spoilers that we're looking at right now. Like, I am just living for it.
It's fantastic, right? Now, folks, this is an interesting cycle. There's one for each of the colors. We've seen white, blue, black, and green. I don't think we've seen reds unless it got spoiled today and I haven't caught it yet. But they're all very powerful. Like endurance, I like endurance because of the, like, you could actually hard cast this and not just evoke it. Because, I mean, playing one green-green is very reasonable for a 3-4. So you could just do it straight up. But, yeah, no, I just think this is, like, and they're all very good. Like, Grief is nasty, which is the black one, which is, like, a thought seize on a evoke creature. And then you get Solitude, which is, like, Path or Swords on a creature. Like, it's just very, very strong. Very strong. So, yeah. Yeah. I don't know what to say. Okay, I'm next. I wanted to talk about the card Persist. Oh boy. One in a black, sorcery. Return target non-legendary creature card from your graveyard to the battlefield with a -1/-1 counter on it. Jesus. You know what magic needed there, Lux? More Reanimator.
Yep.
Because this is that. This is a Reanimator right here. Jeez. And he looks a little annoyed, I think. Yeah, I know. This is good. Like, I mean, folks, reanimation is a very powerful strategy in Commander. And so to have a very inexpensive reanimation spell, so you're not beholden to something like Unburial Rites or something, you know, it's often at 5 mana. Persist is at 2, or if you want something else, it wobbles into other expensive things. So anyway, yeah, no, I like Persist. I think this is an excellent option for reanimator decks. So, all right, up next, go ahead.
For one black and a green, you get the legendary planeswalker with 3 loyalty. Static is as long as Gross the Hungertide isn't on the battlefield. So 1/1 insect creature in addition to its other types. It's +1 is for the 1/1 black and green insect creature token. Then mill a card. If an insect card was milled this way, put a loyalty counter on Grist and repeat this process.
Right. Okay.
It's -2. -2 is you may sacrifice a creature. When you do, destroy a target creature or planeswalker.
Yeah, okay.
And it's ultimate, -5. Each opponent loses life equal to the number of creature cards in your graveyard.
Right. Okay. This card is cool, Lux.
Yeah.
Did you know this could be your commander? This is cool.
Yeah.
So, I don't know why they bothered to, like, just preclude planeswalkers from being commanders, like, just generally. I mean, I've heard the argument, but I'm like, let's be real. They're finding ways to do it. And here's another one. Apart from, like, the text at the bottom is this card can be played as a commander. Like, now they've done it with Grist here. They turned it into a commander. So now you have a commander in planeswalker commander in your command zone. And it's just strong. Like, it's not insane, but it's a strong card.
Yeah.
The +1 is reasonable, right? Like, it protects itself, yep. Right? You can drop a body and just sort of do that. And then the -2 is you sack something to kill something. Like Bone Splinters, right?
Yep.
And -5, each opponent loses life. Like, it's a little bit cool. But, I don't know. Like, it's...
And then honestly, like, opponents, they're not going to be in a hurry to remove this from the battlefield, but they're also not going to want to ignore it either.
No, I agree with you. I think it's not going to be identified as the sort of threat that it could be if in other circumstances, because some of the abilities are suitably mundane. Like, the plus one doesn't scare anybody. The minus two is annoying, but it's not, you know, abusable in the same way as other people are. But anyway, so this reminds me a whole lot of, like, you want to play this in some sort of a dredgy style deck, like the Golgari from Ravnica Allegiance. No, not that set. The Guilds of Ravnica, where you're looking to power up your graveyard, and there are very few better ways to power up your graveyard than with dredgers. So you dredge, and you play Grist, and you just profit. So,
yeah.
Like, I think this card is good. I like it. I think the card is cool. I think it's very interesting. All right, next. Oh, this one is cool. Garth One-Eye. So, Wooburg. So, white, blue, black, red, green. Legendary creature, human wizard. 5/5. And he says, tap. Choose a card name that hasn't been chosen from among Disenchant, Rain Geyser, Terror, Shiva Dragon, Regrowth, and Lotus Council. All right, Black Lotus. So you get to recast one of six just iconic cards of the first few years of the game. What would you say?
Honestly, this makes me want to play five color good stuff big time.
And I both, my friend, this is silly. Like, okay, 5 mana or a 5/5, that's pretty expensive. Like, it should be hard. It should be. I can imagine. I prefer that people say I have to draw myself my Black Lotus token rather than like, hold on, let me whip out my Black Lotus over here. I have in this hard case. Like, that seems so rude. But anyway, yeah, Garth One Eye seems like a thing, doesn't it?
Yeah,
seems like a thing. Woo! I don't know, man. I don't know. The world of Magic's changing.
Yeah.
All right. Yeah. All right. Last one.
Then we have Sword of Garth. More about Garth.
Oh boy. Go ahead.
Yeah, Sword of Hearth and Home. It's an equipment artifact in a 3 generic. Equipped creature gets +2/+2, and it has protection from green and from white. Whenever a equipped creature deals combat damage to a player, exile up to one target and a creature you own, then search your library for a basic land card, put both cards onto the battlefield under your control, then shuffle. Equip 2.
I really like this card. I think this card is very, very good. I mean, will every deck play it? No, because not some decks don't want the equipment, but I think this is good. I think I like this for the colorless ramp alone. People have been comparing this to Sword of the Animus, their Lux. And if I go to EDH Rack, I look at Sword of the Animus. Sword of the Animus. That's not it. There we are. Sword of the Animus. Is very comparable to this in some regards, but I think even that falls down to some of the So it's about $15, but this is going to be a lot more. I don't know. Like, I like this card. I like this Hearth and Hone. I like it. I like blinking my stuff. I like tutoring for lands and just reaping rewards. Any ideas?
Honestly, I'm pretty sure that I could think of several things, but they just don't come to mind yet.
Well, I was going small ball. Like, you could do something like blink your Avenger of Sendikar. You could blink your, blink a Skyclave Apparition. You could blink Thragtusk. You could blink whatever you want to blink. Blink your Garth. Reset Garth. So you can do it all over again. And plus you get the ramp on it. Like, this thing is good. This is going to be good. Folks, you should probably go pick one up when the price comes down, because I think it's going to be very, very powerful. Anything else?
No, not really.
No? Okay. So, we're going to share Feff's deck with everybody. So, in honor of Feff, who wasn't able to attend today, we're sharing her Alila Artful Provocateur deck that she's sharing with us. And so, Alila, let's have a quick read. 1WB, legendary creature, fairy warlock, flying, death touch, lifelink. Other creatures you control with flying get +1/+0. And whenever you see another artifact or position. This is just going to play like an Esper control deck, and it's going to try and go wide, and it's going to beat you down. Simply put. So let's have a look at things that this deck is going to play. Looking at, its artifacts for its ramp. So you get Arcane Signet. You're getting Chromatic Lantern because you're making, because you're a 3-color deck. You probably need to make the mana. Yeah, needs to make the mana. I was just looking there. I'm a little surprised at the Gilded Lotus, but I'm all for it. I like Gilded Lotus. I still think it's a solid card. You're not talking Sol Rings and Signets and Talisman galore. The creatures are all fairies, folks. They're all fairies. So. What do you think here? The creatures are all fairies. The enchantments include a Bitter Blossom and a Cathar's Crusade, which is really all I need to see after that. And everything else is just superfluous until you get to the Rhystic Study and the Reconnaissance Mission. The removal suite is strong with, like, Swan Songs and Anguish and Making and Counterspells. So that is where you are at. Lux, any thoughts here?
And honestly, this looks pretty solid, doesn't it?
I would say it looks very solid. I mean, the only thing that, begs the question are some of the maybe board cards that I think probably ought to be run. So something like Anointed Possession, I think, needs to be run at all costs. And I think if you have any way to gain life, I think you play Bowls of Citadel personally. I think that Anointed Possession and Bowls of Citadel are suitably impactful enough that you just run them, and Smothering Tithe. But after that, I could be convinced that there's a number of the other cards that I could do without. I mean, you don't need to have them; they're nice to have, but like. Anyway, any other last thoughts on this card, on this deck, before we sort of bring it to a close?
And no, not really.
So, folks, if you like the deck or you want to check it out for yourself, you can go check it out. The link's going to be in the show notes. Now, again, this is not a budget deck, so we did not brew this one. Feff did not brew this with a budget in mind. This checks in around $630, so it's not cheap, but I've seen much more expensive decks floating around. Would you agree, Lux?
Yep.
So this is at the $600 mark is sizable, but not unmanageable, let's say. And so I think the, you know, it seems pretty solid, pretty strong. So I like it. At $630, I'd consider trying to piece together some of the parts, knowing that I'm going to spend much of the next year or more just doing it. So I don't know, man. I don't know. Looks strong.
Yep.
All right. Let's move to wrap it up tonight. It's a little bit shorter than usual, but I think it's, you know, there's a lot. We could keep talking there, folks. I'm not sure we'd be getting any further ahead. So we'll pull it to a close. Go ahead. Anything you want to add?
And like, I was just going to say is that like next time we have Feth on, maybe we can go back over the deck and they get a more thorough, you know, explanation around it from her.
Absolutely. I think that's a great piece of advice right there. And we'll actually hear from the horse's mouth all about it and see what she decided in the end and if there's going to be any cuts or adjustments. So that's going to bring this week's show to a wrap. Thanks very much, everybody, for stopping by and having a listen. Always amazed at how quickly each week goes by, and sure enough, we're back record another episode for you guys. If you want to leave us some feedback, you can reach us on our social media accounts. So on Twitter, we're at EpicExpCast. That would be our Twitter handle. If you want to email us, be sure to email us at theepicexperimentpodcast@gmail.com. If you like the deck or any other deck that we have on the show, you can by all means check us out on moxfield.com. You can look up the username The Epic Experiment Podcast. Always, whatever platform you are on, whether you're on Google Play or an Android device, or you're on iTunes, or you're on Spotify, like, follow, leave a comment, subscribe, whatever you can do to help us spread the word that we're here each and every week talking Commander with you guys, and couldn't be happier to do it. So, yeah, that's pretty much going to bring this week's show to a wrap. Next week, we're going to be looking at some more MH2 spoilers, I have no doubt, because the deck's a few weeks, the set's still a few weeks off. We're trying to line up our session with a judge, because I think there'll be a judge will be kind of important for this one. So stay tuned for news on that. But that is all for next week. Until then, ladies and gentlemen, this is everyone from the Epic Experiment Podcast wishing you a very happy week and all the best wherever you next play Magic. Take care, everybody. Have a great one. We'll talk to you soon.